the church is being restored in this 30-year period. If I'm, you know, I'm not emphatic about it, but I'm in right now in studying the timetables. I'm saying that 2003 started the 30-year period that the church will be restored in at the end of this 30 years. That'll start the last prophetical hour, which is 15 years, which the first 7.5 years of that, the bride will be made up. No. The beginning of the 20th chapter. The bride will be made up, and the thrones, that's what he's going to see. Now, they won't start, that's not going to start them ruling yet. The next half of the 7.5 years, last prophetical hour, this Jewish ministry will receive the transition of rulership in the body of Christ, and they will finish judging Babylon and destroying the beast's power. And then the bride of Christ will begin to rule and reign with them through that ministry, and it'll take 1,000 years to finally bring every nation under subjection of the righteousness of the Word of God, unto Christ. And at the end of when that's finished, the whole world has come under the rule of Jesus Christ, His righteous rule. You know, not because they're made to, but because they chose to. They'll have the gospel presented to them, and those that reject it will be judged eternally. No, you're talking about the great white throne resurrection?
I'm trying to connect what's going on in this 20th chapter.
Okay.
Along with the restoration of the church and what the timeline is.
There'll be a resurrection of the just at the beginning of the last prophetical hour, at the last trumpet. The beginning of the seventh trumpet in the last prophetical hour, there'll be a resurrection of the just that were just from the falling away of the early church to the restoration of the church down here. Then it'll take 7.5 years for them to finish their work. God will finish His work in them. They'll make the bride. Then this bride group right there will then have glorified bodies. They'll live. They'll have inherited eternal life, and the second death has no power on them, but they'll rule and reign for the next 1,000 years. Then every nation is going to come under the subjection of the Word of God, and finally after 1,000 years there won't be anybody on the face of the earth that is rejecting Christ. They're either going to be die. The Bible says if they die at 100 years of age, they'll be accursed. Because you'll be able to live for 1,000 years if you accept the gospel. Mm-hmm. In fact, you'll inherit eternal life mm-hmm. during that 1,000-year period. But after God's finished, finally everything comes under the righteous judgment of God, and it either dies under judgment or it's alive.
Now right there, where's the battle of Gog and Magog in this period?
Okay, it's not during that period. There's going to have to be a resurrection of the unjust after the 1,000 years.
Right.
Of all the unjust, then they will have an opportunity to see this great white throne, which is the whole manifestation of God and all the people on the earth that they resurrect and see and hear. But they're going to be unjust. They're still going to be as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. So when they resurrect, they're going to resurrect with whatever's in their mind when they went down.
During the 1,000 years, from starting at the beginning of it, evidently we've got this resurrection and we're making up the bride. And at some point,
we're made up the bride before the 1,000 years begins, in the last prophetical hour.
Beginning of the 1,000 years, it should be completed, I guess.
It's completed in the middle of the last prophetical hour. Still be 7.5 years where God's wrath will be poured out. And judgment will judge the beast and the dragon.
That's not the battle of Armageddon.
Yes, that's the battle of Armageddon.
Right there.
Yes.
Well, what's this?
No.
What's this judging them at the end of the 1,000 years?
Okay. After God judges the dragon and the head of the dragon, the beast and the false prophet, down here in the last prophetical hour, after the bride's made up, then there's 1,000 years of the bride and Christ ruling through this Jewish ministry and bringing every nation under subjection. After God finishes that, then after the 1,000, in the beginning of the 8th day, He resurrects millions of unjust people since Abraham were unjust.
Satan is loose. All hell
all hell breaks loose. Satan's loose for a season. Then we're going to have to deal with all them people. And they'll have to hear this message and see it in operation. But it shows us, God's revealing to us, that there's going to be a great number that's going to try to deceive the nations and try to form their own system again. And they're not going to accept this. It's no telling how many years this is going to transpire, that God's going to give them time, you know, and let them hear. But finally, He's going to let them get to a place where He sees they have fully rejected this. And they're going to try to set up a system, but he's going to judge them Himself. He's just going to burn them up, evidently. God's not going to allow His people to come under any kind of attack, under any kind of carnality like that. And so finally, when God finally does that, death and hell's cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell. Even hell gets cast into the lake of fire. Don't get to telling people hell is the lake of fire. It's not. The lake of fire is eternal judgment. Hell, there's a lot of different hells in the Bible. You know, there's Sheol, there's the grave, there's the pit, there's Tartarus, there's Hades, there's hell itself. What did I leave out? Gehenna. Gehenna was the one I left out. There's 7 different hells. Are words that's interpreted hell in the Bible. So you got to know which one you're talking about, because Tartarus and Hades are 2 different things. You got to know, like for an example, when the same word Sheol that's translated hell, when a wicked person in the Old Testament dies, the translators translated it hell. He died and went to hell. But when Job died, he went to the grave, and it's the same word. They didn't know what to do with that. They didn't know how to say Job went to hell, so they made that the grave. They couldn't put him in the same place as that wicked man. All the righteous in the Old Testament, and when they died, they went into the grave. But then a pit is talking about religion, false religion. Just remember your record's being written. You're going to be judged by your book. What's in your record? Let me give you a scripture in Revelation 12. Is dinner ready yet?
Yes.
Dinner's ready. Okay, let me give you this scripture right quick. We'll seal it with this. Look in Revelation 12. Now, this is talking about the war that took place in the early church. All right, in the 9th verse, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out." This is the dragon of the early church, that old serpent called Satan and the devil and Satan. See, we got to deal with that same thing down here. "Which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ." That has to happen down here. "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And," here you go, "they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb," that's the Holy Ghost, "and by the word of their testimony," there's your record, The word of your testimony is your record. You have a testimony that's being developed right now. You're an epistle that is being read and known among men right now. Everywhere you go, people know you. They know what kind of life you live, and they know what kind of testimony of Christ is in your life. And you are going to overcome by the word of your testimony. What God writes in your life, by the word of the book of life, is being inscribed upon the tables of your heart and in your mind. And people are reading that. They're reading your mail. They're reading what's happening to you. You're a testimony. And your testimony, what God's taking you through, what He's developing in your life, is how you're going to overcome. By the word of your testimony, which is the word of God that's working in your heart and your life. And they love not their lives unto the death. That doesn't necessarily mean there's a martyr. It just means that they died out to sin. They died out to Adam. However it had to come about, they overcame by the word of their testimony and loved their lives. He that seeketh to save his life will surely lose it. But he that loses it, lose your life. Love your life unto death. Love not your life unto death. He that loses it for my sake, Jesus said, hallelujah, shall surely find it. Praise God. So, let's all stand. How did our offering turn out? Let's see. Praise God. All right, y'all did what I said. You gave a little extra. Appreciate that. Every time I've asked, the offering comes in a little more than normal. Thank you very much, because we needed it. Let's thank God for the food. And do me a favor this week. If someone wasn't at church today and you're concerned about them, would you give them a call? Would you tell them we missed them? And would you reach out to them? And then all of these different ones that we're trying to, that God's bringing around us right now. Let's all be responsible to have charity and reach out and love them and have them over to our houses and when you can, and take them out to eat and spend some extra time with them. Might reach out to Brother Shane right now. He feels like we hadn't done very much to make the home he lives in very comfortable. Of course, that's what happens when you get ready. You start giving in to the flesh and wanting to move. Well, you know, you find reasons to justify what you're doing. But maybe we could have done better. You know, I always want to try to consider what I could have done that might have saved a soul. So, reach out. And even reach out to him. God could still deal with him, work in his life. And help us out and let's reach out. And let me give you a word of encouragement and also how to encourage God's people. If God's bringing people in right now, and let me tell you, those of you that maybe you might say, I don't feel like I'm really fully established yet. Well, let me just help you. Don't get yourself hooked up with somebody who's not established. Be careful about keeping company too much with those that whose lives are not established. But put your efforts into getting around people that you can get strength off of. And say, well, how do I know who's who? Well, just look around. See who's always here. See who's really connected in the body and works with the ministry. And you can tell if there's really true order in their life or they just talk about order. Now, there's people that comes around here. We see them every once in a while. We ain't got a clue where they're at sometimes. Sometimes we know where they're at. Sometimes we don't. But when they're here, they talk like they've always been here. Talk like they always work right. Beware. I'm just telling you, beware. Be careful. Your soul's at stake. Don't get influenced by those who cannot help you. Praise God. All right, let's give God a praise. Thank Him for the food. Oh, God, thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your good word of God, Lord. Thank You for the food today and our fellowship, Lord. Work in our hearts and in our lives, oh, God. Direct our steps. We want Your will, oh, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, praise God.